Welcome to Cyber AI, the podcast at the intersection of artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, and reputation. I'm Alan W. Silberberg, the founder of DigiJax Group, and also the host of Cyber AI with Alan W. Silberberg. DigiJax Group is where we specialize in dealing with reputation defense, cyber attack mitigation, and AI integrated digital forensics on behalf of clients in the private sector and in nonprofit and government sectors. Today's episode of Cyber AI with Alan W. Silberberg dives into a growing threat that doesn't even begin with malware or nation state actors necessarily, but in classrooms and curriculum designed to try to train a new generation of cybersecurity experts and analysts. The core issue: there's a widening chasm between what cybersecurity students are taught and what they will face the minute that they step into the real world. That gap is in addition to the giant gap of needed employees in the cybersecurity industry. Some estimates put it still roughly around 500,000 jobs in the United States that are unfilled right now. And part of it might be because of how AI is changing the industry. Part of it might be because some of what the new students who are coming into this know a lot, but they haven't been exposed to this part in a real world way. Now, for example, earlier this year, I was honored to be a speaker at a artificial intelligence conference in cybersecurity that was hosted by the state of California at Los Angeles Valley Community College. And one of the things that I gave a speech about was I basically related a couple stories of what it's like to deal with an incident in real time when you walk in the door and the lights are blinking and cameras are off and computer screens are blinking or they're off and people are freaking out. What are the steps that you might see during an incident response immediately? And how is artificial intelligence affecting all that? And one of the things that is incredibly important to understand is that even the largest companies right now are not always able to detect when a cyber attack is a fully AI-driven cyber attack or when it is a group of hackers or when it's a combination. And AI-driven cyber attacks tend to be more powerful and last longer and are generally more intrusive. If you're a student or a professor, hiring manager, or even a policymaker in cybersecurity and artificial intelligence reputation world, you really need to listen to this. Segment one, the AI tsunami. The AI tsunami in cybersecurity. Forgive me, sometimes I stumble over my own words. Artificial intelligence has permanently altered the cybersecurity landscape. Adversaries now use artificial intelligence not just to amplify the known threats that they already know about, but to also create entirely new categories of attacks. Sometimes these attacks are AI entirely. Sometimes they're a combination of AI and older tricks. And sometimes it's a combination of using previously hacked material and combining it with new material, and then going after previously unknown zero-day or other vulnerabilities. At DigiJax Group, we've seen artificial intelligence now used in targeted disinformation campaigns, targeted reputation attacks, and targeted synthetic identity scams, some that are so realistic that even law enforcement initially mistakes them for legitimate traffic and or for low-level kind of hackers and not this type of higher-end attack. Now, before I move on, one of the things that I will say as a cybersecurity subject matter expert, I've testified in state and federal court situations and worked with law enforcement at all different levels throughout the country, in different states and different cities. Well, and while many people in law enforcement mean well, and they try really hard to answer these cybersecurity questions and deal with hacks. Most for right now, and this is starting to change, But most local law enforcement, police, sheriffs, don't usually have the cybersecurity training personnel or personnel who are technically adept enough to be able to actually listen to, so that people, a lot of times when they file a report, oh, I've been hacked, my company was hacked, well, now we have to deal with lawyers. The police will write a very vague report only because it's not because they're trying to harm, it's because they don't usually understand the language being used, or they don't know how to put it directly into a police report. FBI is better at this, obviously, but the FBI generally won't look at something unless there's $7 million that's already been lost, and or you can prove that there's a hostile nation, foreign nation state involved pretty early on. And it's not, again, not that they don't want to help, it's that they are so busy and dispatched to other situations. So the AI tsunami in cybersecurity. The artificial intelligence has permanently altered the cyber landscape. I've said this. But why? AI-generated malware is now adapting in milliseconds to avoid signature detection. And this allows it to become polymorphic and change shape or form immediately. Machine learning models that underpin both the LLMs and artificial intelligence, as well as other types of data retrieval methods, are being hijacked in so-called model inversion attacks. A model inversion attack, in more simpler terms, is reverse engineering something to reveal sensitive training data. So as companies are starting to use these various LLMs and they're using various types of artificial intelligence and machine language models, what's happening is that they're leaving the underbelly kind of open. So oftentimes other people can come along and figure out how to get into those LLMs and then use that data and reveal what was just uploaded. Or and I'm not saying this is ChatGPT or Gemini. I'm just saying in general, there are so many different types of artificial intelligence models out there now. Many of them are coming off of models where you can build your own agent. And again, as I've referenced in earlier episodes, and I will continue to reference in future episodes, if you're not locking down the model that you're using for artificial intelligence, there's no guarantee that what you're uploading for it to be taught is safe. Deepfakes and synthetic voices are now bypassing identity verification at scale. And what this means is that they can use enough information about enough people that it's no longer about social engineering one person out of their information and then trying to become that person and using privilege escalation to move up the ladder in the IT stack. But no, it's more about, like, now they could do this at scale, and there could be, instead of there being one of me being replicated, there might be 20 of me being replicated, and then multiply that by thousands of people or tens of thousands of people or millions of people at once. This is real world. This is happening today. This is not something that's theoretical or could be. And yet, the university programs and some high school programs that exist out there, and master's degree programs, are they talk about these things as kind of a little bit not necessarily grounded in reality, but the reality is these are the threats and these are the attacks that we are now seeing. And I'm in the last 2 years have witnessed some of the most hardened cybersecurity experts who get hit by an AI-driven attack that they are not prepared for. And all of a sudden, it's as if they're having to learn everything all over again. Now, I'm not saying that's the case with everyone. There are some people who are really adept at this and teaching their organizations, how to stay ahead. But most attacks in cybersecurity and reputation now are driven in part by cyber AI attacks. And so the tools have to be used both in real time to defend, but also in real time to teach. The academic programs, this is segment two. Academic programs, by far across the board, what I've seen at least, with some exceptions. Obviously, there are some technical colleges and there are some universities that do have far superior cybersecurity coursework. But a lot of it is still about so-called computer science, which is great. It teaches the basics. But the actual cybersecurity part of it, there is both a laboratory element and testing a something in a sandbox situation, which as in the real world, we are often using sandboxes as a way to see what is going on with malware. But you also have to step out of that and realize that at the same time that you're dealing with that sandbox situation, you're also dealing with phone calls and text messages to the people who've been hacked, threatening them, threatening their families, threatening their businesses, threatening their organizations. There's a psychological fear factor that goes into this at the same time that as the artificial intelligence part is being used. And there's, depending on the type of organization, they're either ready for that or they're not. And so when I started to think about like what should university course outlines be looking at, and when I talk to recent cybersecurity graduates, I'm asking questions about things like this. But I think that we really need to look at all of this as an organic situation now that these are all connected, that we can no longer look at any of the following things as being standalone situations. So, for example, if you talk to recent cybersecurity graduates, they are studying cryptography, which they should be, firewalls, basic SIEM and SOAR tools. But what they aren't doing is analyzing how artificial intelligence is building synthetic identities, conducting automated phishing with these synthetic identities, and then also scraping dark web data at the same time to construct continued psychological profiling for social engineering. This is all being done in an automated format. The human beings are no longer really involved too much in this. And this makes all of these attacks on any type of organization much more fluid. They're usually deeper. They usually have more information from which to draw on to make these types of attacks. So the schools have to be able to say, well, in the real world, when you have a likeness that was hijacked, or you have a corporate brand name that's hijacked, turned into an entire network of either deep fake personas or deep fake websites that are sucking revenue from another company, sending it somewhere else, or attempted insider phishing, any number of these things. You have to ground it back to this type of training, this cryptography, firewalls, endpoint management, SIEM, SOAR tools, synthetic. But how does this connect with synthetic identities and automated phishing? This is where I think the universities right now are kind of missing the boat and need to get up to speed quickly. Academia, in most cases, again, there are some exceptions. Academia is lagging here for three main reasons. Most of the professors often lack real-world, both artificial intelligence exposure and real-world cybersecurity attack exposure. It is one thing to be theoretical and try stuff out in a sandbox environment. It is a whole other thing to be having everything thrown at you all at once in a live fire environment where the client is begging for help and you are there trying to help them. Curriculum updates, even if the professor wants to update the curriculum and bring it up to speed, sometimes there's a lot of resistance from the university or college or wherever they're teaching. Sometimes there's lack of understanding on various boards or committees about trying to move that process forward. And often there's not a budget. So even if they update the curriculum a bit, there may not be the budget to import the tools and the hardware required to really do reverse engineering. And the other thing is that I think that there's still a lack of involvement beyond the most largest cybersecurity companies in internships and creating that younger, modeling those younger cybersecurity analysts and experts into what we really need in the field. And I don't think that's anyone's fault. I think that that is a budgeting issue. And for many smaller cybersecurity companies, the idea of running an active internship program and creating that active mentoring program, while that sounds exciting and sounds like something they would love to do, they probably just don't have the resources. So unfortunately, it does fall to sort of like the big, the the Googles and Microsofts and Hewlett Packards and Apples and Googles of the world. I think that we are not, but that's not to say that there shouldn't be outreach to smaller businesses like DigiJax Group and also to other experts in the field. I think that there really should be both tax advantages designed to help create internships, but also even take that a step further and maybe even tax advantages that would might help create apprenticeships that would be paid, apprenticeships that would lead to solid careers for people, but not just teaching an academic version, but actually throwing them into the mix, into the lion's den when it's all happening, because that's what cybersecurity is about. If you can't handle the heat, it almost doesn't matter how good you are. If you can't handle the psychological stress and not sleeping well and eating bad food and being at someone else's whim for how much they yell at you because they're concerned, if you can't handle those things, it kind of doesn't really matter how well trained you are on the technical side. And this is something also that a lot of colleges and schools don't necessarily talk about, is this human toll that it does take on the defenders in cybersecurity. But there's obviously a kind of an uncomfortable truth here. There's also fear of teaching offensive AI schools, this skills. This also goes along with fear of teaching offensive cybersecurity skills. What do I mean by offensive? I don't mean giving someone the finger, although that's kind of a funny way to look at it. What we're talking about here is teaching someone how to hack in order to defend, and or how to exfiltrate in order to defend against someone trying to exfiltrate. This is where a lot of sandbox comes in, and using sandbox means, you're taking a piece of code or malware or an application and dumping it into a situation where you can test it and use it without it breaking everything around it and destroying all the networks and systems that normally, if you put it into a regular computer that wasn't a sandbox, it might destroy those things. So basically, we need to start looking at how we train students in both the offense and defense of cybersecurity and the artificial intelligence and reputation aspects of cybersecurity. The attackers are already doing this. They aren't being like waiting for you to figure this out. They're not saying, you know what, let's wait a couple years. Maybe at that point, state colleges around America will figure out that they need to start teaching the need for red teaming, and but red teaming applies to both cybersecurity and artificial intelligence in this case. No, they're not doing that. They're basically like, ha, they haven't done anything. We're coming right in. We're going to use our latest artificial intelligence tools to take down their non-artificial intelligence defenses. So, segment three, what does the industry really need to do here? The industry, which is mostly large players, but there's also a lot of small cybersecurity companies, industry needs to have artificial intelligence native cybersecurity defenders as part of our defense, full stop, no matter what, period. Okay, and if that means that we have to be hiring a bunch of 18-year-olds just coming out of high school because they're the ones who actually understand these tools, maybe that's partly what has to happen here. But with universities and colleges, it's time to stop playing games. Cybersecurity is not a hypothetical or some kind of scenario where you can kind of game it out, maybe see what's going to happen. No, there are many, many real-world factors that come into play. There is, even though the largest cybersecurity companies in the world will try to say to you, oh, well, we have a blueprint for everything. Maybe they kind of do, but the reality is every cybersecurity attack and response is different depending on the setup of the company and the willingness of the employees to either learn or have been coached in the past, and also to practice what they've been coached and taught. So, like at DigiJax, the DigiJax group, when we talk to people, we're looking for not just something like a degree, but also real-world capability. Have these people served in the military? Have they served in law enforcement? Have they dealt with these highly stressful situations? I know that our clients are looking for us to come in with responders who have the experience. They don't want us, a large Fortune 500 company or the owner of a movie studio or a sports team is not going to want to bring on a cybersecurity company that they think is going to do the job. They're going to want to bring on one that they know is going to do the job. And this is true throughout all industry. You have to be able to prove yourself. And I think that one of the things that happens here is that a lot of these things that I'm talking about right now, that industry is doing and is doing it well in some way, methods, they may not have the ability to transfer that into like an internship program or a mentorship program, only because they don't have enough people around on their staff to do anything other than the work that they're doing to defend and build up their own company. Again, if there were tax incentives out there that would were created at a national or state level that would really make it so that apprenticeships and internships in cybersecurity would directly lead to jobs, I think that what we'd be seeing is a training level going on where the real world would enter academia much earlier. But the other questions that industries start to have to be asking now when they're hiring, for cybersecurity roles and cybersecurity analyst roles, what is this person's experience beyond the cybersecurity documentation of what they can do? Well, what's their artificial intelligence capabilities? Can they detect an LLM hallucination embedded in a phishing email? Do they even know what an LLM hallucination is or what it might look like? Can they write the prompts to, like, in other words, can they create new prompts in something like a ChatGPT or some other tool to stress test their own tools against prompt injection attacks? In other words, yet you're asking a third-party thing to stress test something you just wrote, but using the thing to stop that third party from doing exactly what it's trying to do. Can they triage? Can they respond when a client's entire digital presence is hijacked by an artificial intelligence that isn't sleeping and may not be human at all, and where there's not a human to track down? So these are the questions, some of the questions that industry has to be asking now as they're starting to hire cybersecurity people. It's not just Fortune 500 companies, federal agencies, boutique firms, banks, investment houses. We all need cybersecurity professionals and reputation security professionals who operate at artificial intelligence speed, but also understand that the marriage of cybersecurity and artificial intelligence is here. It's not coming. We're already well past that, actually. And students at the college and university level that aren't getting that kind of training, unless they go rogue and take it upon themselves to tinker and to try to break things, and you're taking open source AI courses about cybersecurity, using various artificial intelligence agents on their own to create cybersecurity tools, and or contributing to red team communities online. If they're not doing all those things on their own, then it's quite possible they're missing out only because of the scenario that I laid out already, which is that many of these schools are functioning from a couple year behind on process, even though some of what they talk about is actually current, but the curriculum at many of these schools is not yet up to date to where it needs to be. In my opinion, there are some things missing in the classroom right now. Real world artificial intelligence threats that are missing. This is segment four. Here are some of my real world examples of artificial intelligence attacks that DigiJax Group has either mitigated or investigated recently. So there was an LLM-based fake news botnet that was had embedded defamatory headlines across thousands of low-tier content botnet farms, which then got picked up by search engines, and it poisoned a CEO's reputation within about 48 hours, which was actually the point. And this was done as a reputation attack, specifically to try to take down a CEO. And this was done by a short seller on a company that was a publicly listed company. The company itself really had never had any type of training at all for this type of crisis, and it took them weeks to dig out from this. And the CEO didn't get fired, but he almost did. I'm not going to mention who it was because I don't want their stock price to get slammed again. Another example, a generative artificial intelligence voice cloning scam convinced a private family office to wire a sum of money that was over $1 million, using voice samples that had been pulled from public interviews about the people involved, This luckily, their bank stopped the wire transfer because the information in the wire transfer didn't match the account that it was supposedly going to, and that is the only reason why that particular family office did not lose the money. But the generative artificial intelligence voice cloning that was used from publicly available interviews with one of the principals in the family office. We've also seen artificial intelligence powered scraping and sentiment analyst bots. They're actively being used by hostile actors to monitor executive social media channels, looking for personal vulnerabilities, emotional states, crises to exploit. They also are looking inside networks of corporations to see where corporate passwords and email identities are being used on other parts of the web. Again, which is a real vulnerability because now you can find that information back and forth. These are not from next year. Okay, these what I just talked about are real world situations from the last 6 months. But in academia, students are still doing pack your capture exercises and studying WannaCry as if it's still 2017. Well, both of those things are critical and important to understand. Understanding how the artificial attacks are now driving cybersecurity reputation is equally, if not more important. What's the solution here? I mean, like, I've just talked about a lot of different things, and I haven't even got into the policy side of this or ethics. And but what are things that can be done here? At DigiJack2, we have already stepped in to bridge part of this gap, working with partners for years. We've been working with partners in academia and private industry, as well as in government agencies, and that allows us to respond very quickly to situations. We've done a lot of training for large corporations and also for academic environments about artificial intelligence infused incidents and what is the real-time crisis response scenario in this artificial intelligence world. That's for training. If you're curious to learn more, please go to digijax.com, digijaks.com. For the listeners of the podcast, if you click on Cyber AI with Alan W. Silberberg, we also have a list of special reputation and cybersecurity services that are available immediately now without having to go through a law firm or a business management firm. That's also at digijaxgroup.com. So here are some ways I think that we could truly bridge this gap. Number one. Every school, every high school, every college, every master's degree program, they have to be embedding the artificial intelligence aspect into every single cybersecurity module that is being taught. Whether it's digital forensics to identity management or everything in between, artificial intelligence has to be the foundational layer, not just an elective, just like cybersecurity itself has to be a foundational layer in all technology and not just a coat of paint on afterwards. Universities and colleges need to stick to a schedule of creating artificial intelligence-centric cyber boot camps. These should be part of required coursework, including exposure to both offensive and defensive artificial intelligence tactics. I would encourage universities and colleges to look at what the United States military has done. There are a number of active tabletop exercises now that the Navy, the Army, the Coast Guard, Air Force, Space Force have been conducting, sometimes with other members of other military branches and sometimes with industry. Universities and colleges need to adopt the same type of training. It's a red teaming, purple teaming method, and it has to be used actively. Obviously, as the owner of a small company, I would say partner with boutique firms like ours to bring incident response stories into this classroom without too much red tape. But that also applies to the largest companies out there and, other types of companies. Launch artificial intelligence focused capstones. Set goals and benchmarks that simulate realistic threat scenarios based on current events, not outdated case studies. Use real-time tools. All you have to do is Google this, use Bing, and you'll see there are stories about these types of cyber AI attacks every day. This is not science fiction, and I do believe that this is a situation where universities and colleges need to be looking at the daily news cycle as part of their curriculum. And I also think that it's now past time for universities and colleges to create active cyber AI or AI cyber advisory councils, that where the this bridge between cybersecurity and artificial intelligence is met, and to ensure that the curriculum that they are providing to their students is updated at the very least every 6 months, not on every 6 year or every 5 year basis. Oh, because of the speed of cybersecurity in the industry in which we are in, it is a 24-hour a day business. It is not something that sleeps. We can't assume that something that was changed last year is still keeping people safe in the real world. If you are a university dean or a cybersecurity department head, I would like to say this clearly. Artificial intelligence and cybersecurity, it's not optional anymore. It's here. It's part of the defenses. It is part of the attack mode. It's core to your survival to have to use it. This is true in reputation attacks and cybersecurity attacks. In segment six. So what are some of the ethics and policy issues around this rising artificial intelligence talent war, if you want to call it that? The US is in a quiet artificial intelligence talent war, or maybe it's not so quiet, it's actually probably pretty loud, but we're behind. Especially because of the way our country's changing right now, we may be getting rid of a lot of the expert scientists who have been able to help build our industry in the United States. As they leave the United States, other countries will be taking advantage of them and offering real benefits to them to bring their expertise to those countries. Now, authoritarian regimes are churning out cyber professionals who understand that artificial intelligence adversarial strategies are a key part of their livelihood. Basically, it's not like it's a course. It's like they're learning that as their entire thing that they're learning. In the West, we're still debating whether it's kind of ethical to expose students to this sort of, quote unquote, offensive capability. But if we're not doing it ethically in the education sphere, and if we're not teaching it at where it has to be taught, they're gonna learn it in bad ways from Reddit, Telegram, or dark web AI forums if they learn it at all. What we really need as a business, industry, and government looking at this as a large cybersecurity attacks and small. And what we now need is a new framework of cyber ethics that imbues artificial intelligence attacks and AI cyber attacks into dual use, the dual use nature of artificial intelligence and the dual use of cybersecurity tools, and teaches students how to defend and disrupt and disarm artificial intelligence-based threats without blindly trusting the artificial intelligence itself. This is the big problem. This is not just about ethics, but this is about the what are we really looking at in cybersecurity and artificial intelligence. You have to trust the tools, but you also have to be able to look outside the tools and see if what you're seeing is accurate or not. DigiJax Group has been working actively with policymakers for years to help shape some of these frameworks at the state and federal levels. We firmly believe that cyber resilience in the artificial intelligence era begins not in firewalls, but in education, governance, and human training around all this technology that we have to deal with. Again, DigiJax website is digijax.com. And if you click on Cyber AI with Alan W. Silberberg, there is a section for special services offered to our podcast listeners and also our clients of DigiJax that make some of our tools accessible and easily obtainable, as opposed to having to go through a law firm or a business management firm. If you like what you're hearing on these episodes, please like this podcast on Spotify, and also please share it on social media and to your friends. So in closing, we are staring down an AI-fueled future, artificial intelligence-fueled future that is now. It is here, where cyber attacks come in a faster, smarter, and more personal method, and they also are more dangerous, and they are more harmful. The question is not, will we be ready? It really is, are we training people right now to be ready? If you're in academia, you need to be rethinking your entire program about cybersecurity and artificial intelligence. If you are a student, don't wait for permission to go deeper into artificial intelligence and AI cyber and cyber AI attacks. Understand these, because this is what you will be dealing with in your world as soon as you leave and you get a job. If you're in the industry, demand better. You know, if you're a larger company, offer mentorships, offer internships. Create training environments that reflect this real-world chaos that we all live in. If you are under attack and you need to rethink your AI strategy, contact us at DigiJax Group. And we don't just patch holes, we actually rebuild digital defenses and we restore reputations. We train you for what's next, because what's next is already here. This has been Cyber AI with me, Alan W. Silberberg. Thank you so much for your time listening to this. Please subscribe and share on Spotify. Join us for the next episode as we continue dissecting how artificial intelligence is rewriting the rules of cybersecurity and reputation control, and what are the things that you can do about it. Until then, stay sharp, stay safe, and stay aware. The sparks will fly until next time we upload.